Well, tonight we find ourselves in the middle of a series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the title of it is Ignite. And we've divided this study up into three sections. The first section is the speaking gifts. The second section, the one that we find ourselves in, the serving gifts. And then the final section that we'll eventually get into is the signifying gifts. Now, during the weeks that we spent studying the speaking gifts, the gifts that we actually covered were the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the apostolic gift, the prophetic gift, the gift to teach, and the gift of exhortation. After we're finished with the section on the serving gifts, we'll have studied all of the gifts that the Bible tells us are serving gifts, and then we'll launch into the signifying gifts, which gets into the miraculous, the tongues and interpretation of tongues, the healings, and all those really neat, interesting signifying gifts. But so far, under the serving gifts section, we've studied the gift of helps, the gift to counsel, and the gift of ministry. If you've missed any of these studies, they're all available online. You can go to our website, you can go to the media page, and go to the Ignite series section, and you can listen for free to all of the studies that we've done so far. Or you can order a CD through our media ministry and catch up that way. But tonight, we're studying the serving gift that is the hardest gift to keep. And I say that jokingly. It's the gift of giving. And so this gift of giving, it's hard, especially this time of the year, to have the gift of giving because we just paid our taxes just a couple of days ago. And, you know, we tend to like to think that it's better to give than to receive. But when it comes to the IRS, I think it's actually better to receive than to give. But, hey, that's just my take on things. In this gift of giving, we find ourselves in Romans chapter 12. And in Romans chapter 12, we'll back up, get a little context, and begin in Romans 12, verse 3, where it says this: "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality." Now, this is where we stop. This is where we find the gift that we're studying tonight, the gift of giving. And in order to more fully understand the gift of giving, we're going to look at this gift three-dimensionally using three D words. The first D word we're going to use is define. We're going to define the gift of giving. The second D word we're going to use is diagnose. And a simple diagnosis will help to determine if we have this gift or not. And then the third D word we'll use is develop. For those of us who discover that they do have this gift, if you do have this gift, we'll spend some time discussing how we can go about developing to use this gift of giving. So let's start off with definition. But as we get into the definition, I first want to draw a distinction between three issues here, or three topics when it comes to giving. The three distinctions I want to draw is between tithing, offering, and grace giving. So let's talk about tithing real quick. In the Old Testament, we find the word tithing used, and it's equivalent to our word tenth. Okay, so a tithe is a tenth. And under the Old Covenant, you were required by the law to give a tenth of your agriculture and a tenth of your livestock. And this was to be dedicated to the Lord. From this doctrine, from this Old Testament doctrine, some pastors and teachers teach that it's mandatory for Christians to give a tenth of their income to the church. Now, when you join many churches today, you'll sit down, and to become an active member, you'll have to reveal your income to the leaders of that church. And as you reveal your income, they figure out what a tenth of your income actually is. And you sign paperwork that says, I'm committing a tenth of this income to this church. It actually happens. If you fail to do so, you will receive a visit from the church collection agency. Chances are an elder will stop by your house and say, hey, this is what you're supposed to be giving, but this is what you've given so far. You're short this month, and so you need to, you know, maybe it's a smaller church, and if they don't have elders, then the pastor will actually stop by. I've heard stories from people in this church where a pastor actually stopped by their house and asked for them to ante up exactly what was owed. I'll tell you this right now. We're going to start using this method starting tonight, so... No, seriously, we're never, ever going to do ministry like this. I don't see where in the New Testament it tells us that the tithe is a mandatory New Testament church thing. You're never going to see us knocking on your door. If I'm knocking on your door, it's because I'm hungry. Just give me something to eat, I'll be fine. Calvary South Austin will never take up this type of ministry. And I don't mean to bash the ministries that do this. And they have their reasons, and they'll point to their scriptures. And I understand that they're in their hearts, at least, believing that they're doing ministry correctly. I hope that that's the case, at least. But the tithe is never mandated under the new covenant. We're under the new covenant. And when you search the teaching of the apostles, you never see the apostles requiring the church to tithe. When James sent a letter to the Gentile world, to the Gentile churches, in the list of things that he was expecting from the Gentiles, he never once mentioned the tithe. Why not? If it was so important for the Gentile church, James the apostle made a big mistake. He forgot to mention the tithe. So please, understand, number one, that the tithe, a mandatory offering of a tenth of your income, is never, ever expected from the New Testament. We're not under the obligation to give a tenth of our income to the Lord. Having said that, let's move on to that second point, talking about offerings. Because if the tithe is not expected of us, then what is? Understand that the legalistic obligation to give a tithe is often confused with the responsibility to support the church. We're under no obligation to give a tithe. We do have a responsibility as believers, though, to support the church. Paul claimed that he had the floor plan for the church. He claimed that God had given him the doctrines necessary for what the New Testament church was supposed to look like. And if you would turn to Galatians chapter 6, excuse me. In Galatians chapter 6, we'll find one of these teachings of Paul when it comes to offerings. Paul gave us some direction on what believers ought to do in support of the church. And in Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 6, it says this: Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. And we see that same terminology in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. If you would turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It says here, as you're turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it says in Galatians 6 that the person who is being taught the word ought to share in all good things with him who teaches. So how much should we give? How much sharing should be happening? 2 Corinthians 9:6 says this: But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So we see here two ways in which we're supposed to be giving. We see a how much and we see a how to. A how much? Well, as much as you and God sit down and purpose in your heart to give. That's how much you should be giving. And how to seems to be just as important. We're to give cheerfully, or with hilarity, is what the word says. As we drop an offering in the agape box back there, we ought to be laughing at how much we're giving God. This doesn't make any sense at all. You know, and you throw it in there. If under law we're required to give a tenth, how much more under grace should we desire to give to God? That's the question we really need to ask ourselves. So if you're here tonight and you're thinking, well, how much can I get away with? How little can I give and still make God happy? You know, just don't even put your money back there. Just keep your money. I think you ought to keep your money because you're not giving cheerfully. And I would rather not have that money for this church. God's going to make up for that money. I don't have to worry about that. Brenda and I are blessed by you guys' generosity. I just hope that you're giving cheerfully. That's my main concern. I want you guys to enjoy supporting this work. I want you to enjoy supporting Brenda and myself and, you know, future staff members. And I want you to enjoy that this is your building and that you're keeping the lights on. That ought to be a joy to you. And that's how I want you to give. But still, this is not gift giving. So far, we've talked about the tithe and we've talked about offering. The tithe is not a requirement. No one here is required to give a tenth of their income. We are called to give offerings, though, to support the work of the church, to support the staff members, to support, you know, keeping the lights on and the doors open. That is an offering that God is telling each and every one of us that we all ought to take part in that. In some form, in some fashion, if you have the widow's mite, then drop the widow's mite in the box. If you have $1 billion, then go ahead. You know, you can drop that back there, too. They both deposit the same. And we're both happy to see either one. But we're not talking about the tithe and we're not talking about an offering tonight. I've touched on it. But only to draw a distinction between the tithe, the offering, and the grace giving. So the tithe is not required. The offering is a responsibility of ours. The third distinction is called grace giving. Remember, as we study the spiritual gifts, the word gift comes from the Greek word charisma. Charisma is defined as gifts denoting extraordinary powers, distinguishing certain Christians and enabling them to serve the Church of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what charisma is. Now, the word charisma comes from the Greek word charis, which is translated grace. Grace. Remember that grace is unearned, unmerited favor. You don't earn grace, and you don't work for grace. Therefore, the gift of giving, that word gift, meaning grace, grace giving, it speaks of giving, especially when the gift is unearned and unmerited. Grace giving is when you give a gift that is unearned and unmerited. Now, what does the word give mean? This word give means to impart something. And in more detail, the word give means to impart something that is important or of practical value or of financial value. So grace giving is when we impart something important and valuable to someone else who is typically either undeserving or has not earned the gift that they're being given. That's what we're talking about when we talk about grace giving or the gift of giving. And here in our text, if you look back at Romans chapter 12, there's one guideline here for the person who has this gift. In Romans 12, 8, in the last part of that verse, or actually in the middle part of that verse, it says, he who gives with liberality. If you have the gift of giving, then you are called to give with liberality. Now, what does that word mean, liberality? The King James Version renders this word simplicity. Liberality or simplicity. It means free from hypocrisy, not self-seeking. Mental honesty. Integrity is what we're talking about. Free from guile. In other words, when you give, don't give to be seen. When you give, when you practice grace giving, don't blow a trumpet and don't sound the gong and don't let everybody know how you're such the great giver. Because that's not exercising grace giving. Grace giving, it's under the radar. You're not doing it to be noticed or recognized. That's what it means. And so when we give graciously things that are important or of value to those who are typically undeserving or they haven't worked or merited that gift, that's exercising grace giving when it's done by the power of the Holy Spirit and for no one's glory but God. So here's some, in this second part, let's diagnose. We're moving from definition and let's move into diagnosis. Do I have this gift? Do you have this gift? And by this, I want to ask you some questions. And saying yes to these questions would certainly draw you closer to an understanding that you might have this gift. Saying no to these questions, chances are you don't have this gift. Here's the first question. When you hear your friend or family member talk about something they would like to have, do you make a mental note? Do you remember what it is they wanted? And maybe you begin to look for an opportunity to buy them that gift. Maybe you're looking for a birthday or Christmas, and sometimes you just can't even wait that long. You just go ahead and get it for them, and you go, hey, I got this for you. And they're all stoked, and you're all stoked because they're stoked. Does that sound like you? What about this? Do you keep spare change in your car? Or maybe you keep, you know, some sort of food product or water? Because when you get up to the corner and you see that homeless person, you want to give them something. You want to give them some change. You want to give them some water or some food. If that describes you, then it's possible that you have the gift of giving. How about this question? When you're checking out at the grocery store, and the checker asks if you want to give some money to cancer or to diabetes research or whatever it is that they're offering there, there's no question in your mind, is there? You just say yes, and you do the one, the two, or the $3 gift, and you're stoked. You're actually looking forward to going through the line at the grocery store because you want to give that couple of bucks. Here's another question. Have you ever bought something that you really wanted? You had desired this, you had saved for it, you bought it, and then a friend or a family member says, oh, that's so awesome, that's so neat, I really, really like that. And you end up giving it to them because they were so excited about the gift that you were so excited about. You couldn't help but just give it to them. Another question is this: do you have an overwhelming desire for God to be praised as a result of the gifts that you give? When you give gifts in any of the ways that I just described, is it your desire that God would be glorified in the gift that you gave? Maybe when the person says, thanks, or, you know, I appreciate what you did for me, and, you know, you can't stop them quick enough to say, no, 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 praise the Lord, or thank the Lord for that. That was totally God. That wasn't me. Chances are you have the gift of giving. And so pull out that Ignite inventory. If you answered yes to all these questions, then circle a 10 beside gift of giving. If your answer was no, certainly not, I'd rather receive than give. That's okay. We're not all going to have the gift of giving. I like hanging out with people who have the gift of giving. But if you answered no to those questions, then circle a 1. Or if you said yes to those questions, circle a 10 beside gift of giving. Maybe you're somewhere in between. Feel free to circle one of those numbers as well. But let's talk for a few minutes about developing this gift. The first thing that I would challenge you to do is to listen to the message on our website called The Poverty of Possessions. It's from the book of Acts. So you can go to our website, calvarysouthaustin.com, go to the media page, and under the section that's titled Acts, go to Acts chapter 4, which is, the message is clearly marked, The Poverty of Possessions. Because I believe that I establish in that study the right approach to giving so that you're not giving to be seen of people. You're going to basically, in using the method that I reveal, the Bible teaches to come and bring those gifts, lay them at the feet of the leaders of the church, and let the church distribute. And in that approach, you end up being able to give without being recognized. And it keeps you from welling up with pride. It keeps you from struggling with what you know you don't want to be doing anyway. So the story is about Barnabas, who sold a tract of land, and Ananias and Sapphira, who also sold some land. And we see the hearts in both. And so it becomes a good model for what to do and what not to do. So I would challenge you, take some time to listen to that study. Maybe you've already heard it. Listen to it again. Something else that you can do is read the book, Mover of Men and Mountains. Mover of Men and Mountains. This is the autobiography of R.G. Letourneau. And this was a very interesting guy. He was a businessman, and he made heavy machinery, that earth-moving machinery. And he said this. He said, I believe that God wants businessmen as well as preachers to be his servants. And he went on to say this, I believe that a factory can be dedicated to his service as well as a church. And he went on to assigning 90% of his company's profits to the Letourneau Foundation, which was a nonprofit organization to further the cause of Christ. And so Letourneau's company went on to donate millions and millions of dollars over the years to create missions and schools on all five continents. So very good autobiography for you to read about a guy who had the gift of giving. And he banked on God's promise that God can't be outgiven. And God has a promise to those who give liberally, they receive liberally. Now, don't listen to me for one second and think that I'm preaching what Benny Hinn preaches or any of these other faith giver, you know, you give $10 and you'll get $100 back. If you give $100 and you'll get $1,000 back. And, you know, they preach the fivefold increase and all this kind of stuff. I'm not saying that stuff. It's not what I'm teaching. The concept of me giving to get, that's not giving with liberality. That's not giving with simplicity. That's giving with greed. If I give the church $10 in hopes that I get $100 back, I don't think that God recognizes that as giving at all. It's greed. It's what it's recognized as. So I'm not saying that if you give to get, then God will have to, he's bound to give you that money back plus. That's not what the Bible teaches. But the Bible does teach you can't outgive God. So Mr. Letourneau was one of these men who banked on God's promise. And as much as he could give to God, God gave him more. And he continued in that. Another man that is along that lines, Dr. Stanley Tam. And his book is called God Owns My Business. Another great book to read about a man who banked on God's promises. Dr. Tam was the founder of States Smelting and Refining Corporation, as well as United States Plastic. And in 1955, he gave 100% of his business over to the Stanita Foundation. The Stanita Foundation's sole purpose was the distribution of funds for Christian work around the world. And so requests for money come into this foundation all the time. Help us accomplish this mission, or help us do this work for the Lord. And And they prayerfully, with every penny that they give out, they're prayerful about who they're going to give this money to, and they're looking to fill the needs of those who want to further the work of the kingdom of God. So, two great books that you could read about guys who stepped out believing that God had given them a gift to give. They exercised that gift, and God blessed them beyond their dreams. So finally, this. Understand that the gift of giving is not just a job for the rich. Please understand that you might not be a Stanley Tam or a R.G. Letourneau. You might not have millions and millions of dollars. But that's not what the gift of giving is about. The gift of giving is when God calls you to supernaturally give, whatever it may be, that you step out in faith and you give. It's through exercising this gift of giving that we discover how rich God is. It's when we exercise the gift of giving that we discover that God's resources can't be exhausted. So begin to exercise your gift in little ways. If you answered yes to those questions, if God's moving in your heart, if God's calling you to give, then give. Give with simplicity. Give in liberality. Give, and it will be given to you. But give. And watch what God does. You'll see that you'll never be able to exhaust His resources. Well, that concludes this evening's study. Next week, we're going to study the gift of leadership. We're going to see the difference between dictatorial, worldly leadership and sacrificial, Christ-like leadership. So that's going to be a great study to look at. I've spent several years studying Christian leadership, and I'm really excited about that gift. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll conclude this study. Lord, thanks.